We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I'm your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and this is episode 121. And I don't know if this sounds different to you guys or not. I'm using a different mic, and I think it does sound different. Hold on a second, let me move this mic around. I should have done this before I hit record, right? But, you know, sometimes, let's see, there, I think that's good. All right, so, okay, just making sure. All right, good. So, today is January 6th, and I don't know about you guys, but I was pinged by a friend of mine online saying, "Hey, dude, are you watching the news right now?" Apparently, a bunch of Trump supporters have I don't even know. It's crazy right now. It looks like they're attempting a coup. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I don't like my country. Actually, I take that back. I like my country. I just don't like the people within it sometimes. So those of you that say, "Well, if you don't like it, get out." It's like, I don't like the people in it. I don't like some of the people within it. And I definitely don't like the current people running it. So hopefully this gets resolved quickly, and those involved with what's going on in D.C. right now are arrested, and, you know, appropriate measures are taken, essentially, is what I'm getting at. So, all right, so on to the normal stuff that I talk about on this podcast. I just had to touch on that briefly. So, let's see here. The first story I have here is Punky Brewster Revival First Look and premiere date revealed. Sweet. I liked Punky Brewster when I was a kid. I think, you know, yeah. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. And then we have a story here from a website called geekfeed.com. Apparently Rowan Atkinson is tired of playing Mr. Bean. He's been playing Mr. Bean since, like, the late 80s, and I think, you know, maybe it's time for him to kind of retire that character. I don't know, has he done it recently that he would need to, like, retire it? I didn't know he was even still doing the character, to be honest. All right, next story we have here that I'll talk about. John Rhys Davies, or Rhys Davies, keen on Indiana Jones 5 return. We'll see what that's about. And then we have former Xbox executives say Nintendo laughed their asses off when Microsoft offered to buy it. Yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that. And then we have Kevin Smith shares update on Clerks 3 script. I think after his last movie, interest in Clerks 3 kind of got reignited by the studio. So we'll talk. We'll see what he says there. And then I have the next story I have here. Zack Snyder reveals which Marvel property would make him join the MCU. I'm curious about that myself. Peacock launches the Office-specific pricing. So those of you that love The Office and that haven't joined Peacock, this might be for you. And the last thing I have here is WandaVision. WandaVision's Elizabeth Olsen reacts to theory about Mary-Kate and Ashley. So we'll talk about that. All right, let's get started here on this first story. It says Peacock knocked it out of the park with the Saved by the Bell reboot. And now its next classic revival is coming to up to the plate. That would be Punky Brewster revival. The Punky That would be the Punky Brewster revival, which will feature the return of star Sailor Moon Fry, and would also feature the return of Punky's best friend Charlie. It's Sherry, played by Sherry Johnson. And thanks to Variety, we have our first look at the new project and the cast, the full cast, which you can check out in the image below. Even better is the fact that we didn't have to wait very long for the show, as all 10 episodes of the series will hit the service on February 25th. Wow. Okay. All right, on. It's showing a picture here of the cast. Let's see here. The original show, which aired from 1984 to 1988, followed the adventures of Punky, played by Fry, a young girl who has been raised by her foster dad, Henry, played by George Gaines. Oh, God. All right. In the revival, we discover that Punky is now a single mother of three children, trying to get her life back on track. As for the other parent, that would be her ex-husband, Travis, who's played by Freddie Prinze Jr. I thought he looked familiar. We also, the show also stars Noah Cantrell as Diego, Oliver De Los Santos as Daniel, and Lauren Lindsay, as Hannah. And you can see the entire cast in the image below. Right on. Okay. I mean, I saw the teaser trailer for it when I first got the Peacock app installed on my Fire TV. And, it looks cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it. There's this in the teaser, one of Punky's kids goes, "Mom, your shoes don't match." She's like, "Yeah, I know. I missed that." I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm a little congested, and I'm trying very hard to limit the amount of coughing that I do. So I apologize if the cough is loud or anything. I can't really predict when. I mean, I do try to stifle it as much as I can, but sometimes they come out when I don't expect it, so apologies. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da. It says Punky Brewster is written and executive produced by Steve and Jim Armogida, Armogida, and Fry. Original series creator David Duckton and Jimmy Fox of Main Event Media will also executive produce. Cool. There actually wasn't a true series finale for the original Punky Brewster series, as the final season happened during a writer's strike, and thus the anticlimactic wedding bells for Brandon episode served as the show's final episode. Now fans will get the next true step in Punky's journey, and this could be the next big hit for the streaming service, which has already brought back properties like the aforementioned Saved by the Bell to much acclaim, and Psych. Nice. I did watch the new Saved by the Bell, and it did kind of have a meta look at the original series, where it was kind of like looking at itself going, well, this is kind of bullshit, or Zach was kind of a douche. If you've not seen, I think it's on YouTube, Zach Morris is an asshole or something like that. And they're not very long episodes, but it's kind of a recap of individual episodes from the original show, in which it shows how Zach Morris uses his privilege to get away with essentially things that shouldn't have never been on television, on a, let alone a children's show. So, yeah. So they kind of poke fun at those kinds of things on this new version of this show. And I actually enjoyed that. I thought that was really funny. I liked how they addressed it anyway. So I'm assuming that Punky Brewster will have lots of moments where it kind of has a nod to an original series episode. And there might even be like some like flashbacks to the original series. Kind of like they did with Cobra Kai. If you haven't watched Cobra Kai, then you definitely need to check it out. Season 3 is now available on Netflix. And it is awesome. And we see a lot more people from the original movies, which is pretty awesome, too. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this new Punky Brewster, because, like I said, I really liked Punky Brewster back in the day. Yeah, it was a good show. Very good show. All right, next story. Rowan Atkinson is tired of playing Mr. Bean. And like I said earlier, I didn't know he necessarily continued to play Mr. Bean beyond the original episodes of Mr. Bean from like the 80s and early 90s. I do know there was an animated series that had happened, and that's available, I think, on I want to say that's on Pluto TV, or maybe it's on Tubi. One of those free streaming services has the Mr. Bean animated show, which is essentially the same thing, but it's in cartoon format, which, I don't know, I thought it was kind of cool. It had its moments where you're like, really? But maybe that's why he's done playing the character. The character's kind of a buffoon, too, so maybe he's tired of playing that kind of character. He wants to do more serious roles, maybe, or ones that aren't so physical. I mean, he is not young anymore, so that's possibly it, too. So this is what the story says here. Turn the light up, back on. While Rowan Atkinson has had a lot of comedic roles, from Blackadder to Johnny English, his most famous role is undeniably the ever-silent Mr. Bean. While Bean is Atkinson's most popular character, Atkinson does comment that there's a lot of pressure to play him, and he's very much looking forward to putting the character to rest. Okay, I can see that's probably where that comes from. Everybody, what are you going to do another Mr. Bean? Mr. Bean's awesome. Why don't you do Mr. Medine? Mr. Dedeen. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, right? Mr. Bean. I don't know. I really enjoyed Mr. Bean. I remember my stepmom, Barb, she introduced me to Mr. Bean. I was visiting my dad, I think it was probably during the summertime or something. And I came into the house, and she was watching this show. I was like, what are you watching? It's like this show on PBS. It's a British thing. It's Mr. Bean. It's really funny. So I sat down and started watching it with her, and I just immediately fell in love with the character Mr. Bean. I think my favorite episodes, there's the one where he goes to the beach, and the beach is at the bottom of this really long stairway on this cliffside, and he goes down to the bottom of the stairs, and he sees someone in like a beach chair, just kind of taking in the sun, and he looks around, and there's no place to change into his bathing suit. So he proceeds to pull his bathing suit up over his pants, kind of like trying to be as casual as possible. And every time the guy who's sitting in the chair looks around, he kind of like pretends like he's not doing anything. He's just standing there casually with his bathing suit on top of his pants. And he slowly starts to, like, take off his pants underneath his bathing suit and feeds them through the pant legs and stuff. And eventually he gets the pants off and he has his suit on and he's like, yay! And then, at that point, the man in the beach chair gets up, grabs his blind cane, and walks away. And Bean is like, argh, you know, it was really funny. He spent all that energy to try to not, you know, take his pants off in front of a random stranger to realize the guy wouldn't have seen him anyways. I think my other favorite one was the episode, I think it was like, it was either Christmas or Thanksgiving. Probably not Thanksgiving because it's a British show. So it's probably Christmas. He spends all his time putting up decorations and starts making a turkey. And then he gets his head stuck in the turkey because he loses his watch inside the turkey while stuffing it. I know what you're thinking. It's like, they did that in Friends. It's like, yeah, well, Mr. Bean did it first. And I think that's where Friends got the idea for that bit. Or something similar. Because I remember Monica having the turkey on her head. And she put on those giant sunglasses. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Bean did the sunglasses thing. Or if he did, I think he did actually. Walking around with the turkey on his head. So, I don't know. I think it's, you know what? I mean, yeah, he should be able to retire that character. Or at the very least, you know what they should do? And a lot of people, a lot of like, you know, fans would be like, no, can't do that. Maybe they should do a new Mr. Bean and have a different actor do it. Find a younger guy who can do similar kind of physical comedy, you know, make a new version of Mr. Bean. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. It was just a thought. All right. So next story. John Rhys Davies is excited or is keen on the Indiana Jones 5 return. I don't know if that means he is coming back to Indiana Jones 5. He wasn't in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think he was in the first three. He was the guy with the fez. You know. When it tells Marcus to run. Run. Yes. Oh, yes. Run! So, yeah. I don't know. I liked him in those movies, and I liked him in the show Sliders, and of course he's Gimli in the Lord of the Rings movies, although you really can't tell under all that makeup, but it's definitely him. I mean, you can hear his voice. It's very distinct. He's got that very powerful sounding British voice, and it sounds a bit, I don't know, I'm not doing a very good impression of it, but this is how it kind of sounds to me. I don't know. It's deeper, and it has kind of this operatic sound to his voice. Like, he could probably sing your fucking ears off. All right, so Indiana Jones 5 is happening, but will John Rhys Davies be back? Well, the story of Indy 5 will be what the story for Indy 5 is still unknown at this time. There is one question on fans' minds. Will Salah be back for this, his third appearance in the Indy movie? John played Indy's friend Salah in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. However, Salah did not appear, for good reason, in the Temple of Doom, or in the other nameless indie movie. Oh, come on. I don't know. I think I'm one of the few people that I actually enjoyed that movie. Oh, look, I got a message. I should probably mute my phone, huh? Yes, I'm a Star Wars nerd. What can I say? All right, okay. Let's see. That's hilarious. All right. I should probably be looking at this later while I'm recording, right? So I'll do that. Put my phone back down after I've silenced it and everything. All right, get back to the story of Indiana Jones 5 and Sala. See if that's going to be a thing. Sala was absent from those movies because Indy did not travel to Egypt, which is where Sala lives. I have heard that Mr. Davies was offered a small cameo in the unmentionable Indiana Jones movie and turned it down. Honestly, I think unless the script was changed, it would have felt daft in that one. I don't know. I think there could have been some really funny jokes at Indy's expense with him. Even more so than the ones with Mutt. So, it says here, at this point, the question of whether Sala is an Indy 5 may be totally dependent on where James Mangold decides to set the story. From John Rhys Davies' point of view, though, he's ready and hoping he gets a nod for Indy 5. The veteran actor recently spoke to Coming Soon and was asked about Indy 5. He says here, I understand the film is going to be made, allegedly in May. I have the slightest skepticism that the world will be able to shoot a movie like that in May. I suppose it's possible that I will be asked to be in it. If nominated, I will serve. Then he laughs. But I think we ought to wait a little bit longer and, you know, let our masters actually make announcements. And then you can either share my joy or my disappointment. Is that suitably diplomatic? Oh, man. I love that's how he actually talks outside of movies and TV shows he's in. That's awesome. All right. Next story. Former Xbox executives say Nintendo laughed their asses off when Microsoft offered to buy it. Buy what? Nintendo? So Microsoft offered to buy Nintendo? Is that what was that what that means? What? Okay, Microsoft once proposed buying Nintendo in order to lock in its first-party games for the Xbox. The Japanese video game company didn't just decline to entertain the offer. It laughed the tech giants executives out of the room, according to a new report by Bloomberg. Steve Ballmer, Microsoft former CEO, made us go to meet with Nintendo to see if they would consider being acquired. Kevin Bacchus, I think, is that Bauhaus, maybe? Bacchus? Microsoft's former director of third-party relations for Xbox, said in an oral history on the creation of the Xbox, they laughed their asses off like, imagine an hour of somebody just laughing at you. That was kind of how that meeting went. Oh my god, that's excuse me. Wow. I think I remember hearing something about Nintendo saying no to Microsoft about, you know, acquiring Nintendo. You know, it's funny because I don't think at that time, I don't think Nintendo was really necessarily, like, in dire need of anything. I don't think they were suffering. I think that Microsoft was just that arrogant that they thought they could buy the gaming giant that is Nintendo. What's really funny is that, and most people don't know this, but Nintendo and Microsoft are like only physically separated by a highway, a freeway even. The freeway, what's the difference between a freeway and a highway? Either way, those places are separated by 520, Interstate 520. I think it's Interstate 520. And, I worked at Nintendo for a short time, about 13, 14 years ago. And I remember, like, when I parked my car and I went upstairs and looked out the window, if you looked out the right on the what was that? That would have been the south end of the building. If you look at the south end of the building, you can look across the freeway and you can see the Microsoft buildings. I've never worked at Microsoft directly. I mean, I've had jobs that were on the campus. I did a temp job back in the early 2000s where we moved a bunch of computer offices. You know, we packed up all the computers and disconnected everything and then packed them up and moved them to a new location and then set them back up the same way they were when we packed them up, kind of thing. So the fact that they did this, I don't think they flew to Japan to like, hey, you know, we want to buy you. I think they just drove across the overpass and went to into the main offices there for the executives and talked to them. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Honestly, I'm really not. It says here, Microsoft reached out to a bunch of companies with acquisition offers back when it was first getting the Xbox off the ground. The oral history explains these included Electronic Arts, Midway Games, and Square. Prior to its merger with Enix, EA declined in Final Fantasy developer Square's case, the offer was too low. Then there was Nintendo, whose beloved series like Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda, Microsoft thought would combine well with what it considered to be the Xbox's superior hardware. Quote, we actually had Nintendo in our building in January 2000 to work through the details of a joint venture where we gave them all the technical specs of the Xbox. Bob McBreen, then head of Xbox business development, told Bloomberg, the pitch was their hardware stunk, and compared to Sony PlayStation, it did. So the idea was, listen, you're much better at game product. You're much better at game portions of it with Mario and that stuff. Why don't you let us take care of the hardware? But it didn't work out. Nintendo did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Nintendo 64 was already out at the time, and Nintendo was preparing to release the GameCube, both of which ended up selling much worse than the SNES. Of course, a few years after, Nintendo would go on to release the DS and Wii, two of the most successful gaming platforms ever. You might not have heard, but the Switch is doing quite well too. In the meantime, Microsoft has continued gobbling up other gaming companies and announcing just last year an agreement to purchase ZeniMax Media, owner of Bethesda Softworks, makers of The Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Oh, shit. Wow. Still, it makes you wonder what might have happened if Nintendo had decided to take Microsoft up on their acquisition offer. Master Chief would have ended up in Mario Kart, and the Xbox Series XS might have ended up with some first-party launch games. Well, yeah, maybe. All right. Next story. Kevin Smith shares update on Clerks 3 script. All right. It says here, Kevin Smith is known for helming many comedies, but it was Clerks that started it all back in 1994. The movie is currently available to watch on HBO Max, and Smith often shares fun behind-the-scenes information about the film that kicked off his career. In fact, he recently shared the movie's original ending, which involved Dante dying. Smith is also working on Clerks 3 and recently provided an update about the script on social media. Social media. Did I say social or social? God. All right. Doesn't matter. Moving on. Why? All right. So, slow fast. Trigger warning. This is a post about fasting. Please avoid if you struggle with eating disorders. I ended my long fast this morning, 152 hours over the course of 7 days. I feel good and experienced no hunger and no lethargy. Helped that I was buried in writing the new version of Clerks 3 for multiple hours a day, which was a welcome distraction from all the entertainment eating I was doing during the holidays. Eating and then overeating because it's pleasurable. Before I knew it, 152 hours rolled by because I was lost in Leonardo, New Jersey. Leonardo, New Jersey. At a quick stop. In the script, not in real life. You can read the full post, which features more information about Smith's fast below. Yeah, no. I saw him post that, and I was like, when I saw the trigger warning thing, I was like, you know what? Fasting sounds very dangerous to me. Isn't that bulimia that does like the not eating anything? Or is it anorexia? I can't remember which. Either way, it's dangerous. Especially when you're doing it that many hours. I don't 152 hours. How many days is that? Let's see. Let me do a quick Google search here. To 52 hours in days. So that's almost a week. So he didn't eat for an entire week. That's 6 days, 6.33333 days. Oh man. That doesn't sound safe to me. I hope he doesn't get himself killed by like starving himself to death. I mean, yes, I understand losing the weight was necessary so he doesn't have another heart attack, but damn, dude. Surviving a heart attack and losing all that weight just to die from malnutrition. Don't fucking do it. I'm not reading anymore. Hold on. Let's see what it says here about the actual script, if anything. Because I really don't want to read about the fasting shit. Alright, Smith has been very open about his plans for Clerks 3 for many years now, with the project going through various forms. Now, after years of development and multiple drafts, it seems like the third movie will finally go in front of cameras in the near future. Smith has previously broken down the overall plot of the film, and a tweet revealed that the new movie will unsurprisingly take place almost entirely at Quick Stop. Smith also has taken to Instagram a bunch this year to post some of his movie memories, including artifacts from Clerks. Smith also celebrated the 20th anniversary of Clerks cartoon last year. The director took to Twitter to share Consequence of Sound's definitive oral history of the Clerks animated series. Smith was joined by writer Richard Day, co-creators and writers Scott Mosier and Dan Mandel, Miramax Television's Billy Campbell, Jason Mewes, the voice of Jay, Brian O'Halloran, voice of Dante, and more to chat with the site about making the series. I don't know, if you've never seen the Clerks animated series, it's only 6 episodes long, and I think each episode's about half an hour. It was a funny... Excuse me. Again, I was trying to, not cough, but I couldn't really help myself at that point. I apologize. Anyways, what I was saying was it was a very funny series, and it was very similar to, Mallrats, how Jay and Silent Bob were not drug dealers. They were just mischief makers. They were troublemakers. They would sell kids fireworks and stuff like that. And there was lots of pop culture references in the show. There was pop culture references to, Fly the Navigator. Excuse me, no, not Fly the Navigator. The Last Starfighter. Last Starfighter, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. There were some Star Wars references. Lots of great voice actors in this show, too. See, Kevin Michael Richardson, who else? Tara Strong, who else? I think Brian Posehn was a voice on the first episode. And Gilbert Gottfried did his impression of Seinfeld for a bit. It was pretty funny. Why? I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think, I don't know. I'm trying to remember where I saw it last. I don't know if it's available currently online or not. I'm pretty sure it is. I think I remember seeing it on one of the free platforms about a year ago. I haven't looked in a while. I suppose I could look right now. What happened? Okay. Whoa. My mic turned off for a second. Or maybe it's just my headphones. All right, there we go. I hit something and all of a sudden I didn't hear nothing. And I was like, oh no. All right, so let's do a search here. All right, search. Let's see, where can you watch it? It looks like it's available for purchase on iTunes. I could have sworn it was available on other streaming sites. This is what Google says anyway. I mean, it could be. Let's see. Available on I may not have whatever service may have it is one that I have access to listed here. All right. Let's go back and refresh. Yeah, it looks like it's only showing up on iTunes right now. That's really weird. I thought it would be available in more places. I know at one point it was on Comedy Central. They had it 10 years ago on Comedy Central. see here. Click on the Internet Movie Database. Maybe that has where you can watch. It looks like it's also available for purchase on Prime. Well, not in the States. It's not. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, it may be available in other countries for streaming, but it's not available in the States. I know you can probably buy the Clerks animated series on DVD. Let's do that. Let's look. Let's see here. Clerks Animated. If you do a search on Amazon, I'm pretty sure you can find the DVDs. All right. You can buy it on DVD. You can buy it on VHS. Yep, it's available on Amazon for a DVD for $20. Not bad. There's even one here. What version is this? Someone's selling it on Amazon for $3 if you want to buy it used. All right, anyways, back to the story. Sorry, got distracted. Where's that button at?
You're a weird dude, Todd.
Not that one. Where is it?
Meanwhile, back at the podcast.
All right, that was loud. Sorry, I didn't realize that was quite so loud. All right. Maybe it's just because I have to have my headphones turned up. That's why it's loud. All right. So Zack Snyder reveals which Marvel property would make him join the MCU. Dude, I think Zack Snyder should, I think he should do the X-Men movies, man. Honestly, I mean, it'd be fucking perfect if you ask me. Both literally and figuratively, filmmaker Zack Snyder is a defining figure in the world of DC Comics, as he not only serves as a producer and director for a number of DC Extended Universe properties, but he's also largely set the tone for the franchise that other filmmakers attempt to emulate. Despite those allegiances. Oh, jeez. Why was I having trouble reading that? All right. Despite those allegiances, Snyder isn't entirely opposed to developing a project for Marvel Cinematic Universe. Having recently detailed that the project that would convince him to be involved with Marvel Studios would be the opportunity to bring Frank Miller's Elektra Lives again to life. Though we really shouldn't expect that project to happen for a number of reasons. I would choose, it's quoted saying, I would choose Elektra Lives again. Do you know that Frank Miller, that comic book? It's a graphic novel about Elektra, Snyder shared with Comic Book Debate. Daredevil is having these dreams about Elektra coming back to life, and it's really cool and weird. It's just cool and beautiful. That's what I would do. No one cares, but that's what I would do. I don't know enough about the character other than what I've seen in the previous incarnations of, The only reason why I'm aware of Electro is because of the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie and the spinoff that had. So I don't know much about the character. Okay, then it says here, one of the first complications with this specific storyline is the status of both Daredevil and Elektra within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Netflix entered the MCU fray with their Daredevil series, which paved the way for subsequent series like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. With that debuted series earning a widespread following, much to the delight of fans, the second season of Daredevil introduced Elektra, as the longtime fans know, the blind superhero's journey was intrinsically linked to the character. Unfortunately, Netflix opted not to renew Daredevil after its third season. With all of the streaming services, Marvel's series getting scrapped. That's right. You know what? I think what's going on there with that is because those shows all got canceled right before the release of Disney Plus. And Disney's probably wanting to bring those shows over to Disney Plus. Or at the very least, do a reboot of those shows on Disney Plus. With different actors, probably. And it says here, while Marvel has yet to confirm plans for the characters, it is only a matter of time before Daredevil, Elektra, and other Netflix heroes join the MCU. But given how much fans love Charlie Cox and Elodie Young's portrayal of their characters, it is unknown if their roles will be recast or they'll get a reprise their characters alongside the rest of the MCU. I don't know. I honestly think that Disney's... excuse me. I think they're going to probably recast. I don't know. They might, though. They might bring those people over to the MCU and bring them over to Disney Plus for a revival series or something. We'll see, I guess. All right. What else does it say here? Anything? Snyder's own future presents other complications, as he also detailed to comicbook.com. Comic Book Debate, that he has no plans to direct more DC movies at the moment, as he has moved on to other projects he's more passionate about. Understandably, this might spark speculation that he has no interest in comic book movies anymore, with filmmaker James Gunn directing Guardians of the Galaxy films and then the Suicide Squad, there's already a precedent? Is that... I don't know what... another word I'm having trouble reading, or... No, I didn't mean to click that. Stop it. I hate when I have to do this. Precedent. That's the word. Precedent. Okay. I knew the word, I just... For whatever reason, when I'm reading it, I didn't realize it was spelled that way. I've never actually read it before. I know the word. I've used the word, but I've never actually written it down. I know that sounds stupid. All right, whatever. There's already a precedent for a filmmaker dabbling in both franchises. Zack Snyder's Justice League is set to debut on HBO Max this year. I heard that it was moved to March instead of September of this year, which in my mind is amazing because I will get to see it in March, which is, you know, it's a good month, I think. March. Can't wait. All right, next story. Peacock launches the Office specific pricing. So for those of you who love The Office, this might get you to join Peacock, the premium version of the software, of the app rather, service, whatever. In case you somehow haven't heard yet, The Office is no longer available to stream on Netflix, where it has remained a hit despite being off the air for years. The NBC series has moved it to its permanent streaming home at NBC Universal's Peacock service, where fans can watch all 9 seasons as well as bonus and never-before-seen footage. The Office is one of the most popular TV shows around, and Peacock knows it, which is why the service is using the arrival of the series in every way possible to help grow the subscriber base. In addition to simply advertising the addition of The Office, Peacock is now using the TV series as a barometer for its different subscriptions. When you look at the 3 different tiers of Peacock, you'll notice that they describe how much of The Office you can watch in each one. The standard free tier of Peacock includes ads and doesn't include access to all the content on the service. With this tier, you can watch the first 2 seasons of The Office. With Peacock Premium, which is $4.99 a month, you get access to every episode of The Office, along with the available bonus features and extras. Peacock Premium Plus gets you the same access for $9.99 a month, but removes all of the ads. Wow. There you go. So you can watch the first 2 seasons for free. And then if you want to watch the rest, you can watch them, the rest of them, for $4.99 a month with advertisements. And if you want to watch all of it with no advertisements, $9.99 a month. That's actually not too bad. I'm not a fan of the show. I tried, and I don't know. It was awkward, and it I didn't like it. Did not like it. I know I'm going to probably piss off some people, but, you know, there was just something about the characters that bothered me. It's probably the same for people who didn't like The Big Bang Theory. I enjoyed the shit out of Big Bang Theory, but a lot of people didn't like it for whatever reason. And my reasoning for not liking, The Office is probably, those awkward moments when you're watching a show and you're like, dude, why are you saying that? No, that's, no, God, that's stupid. That kind of thing. Or you just think that the jokes aren't well written, or they just, characters, I just felt the characters were just too awkward and too weird. And I don't like that fake reality show format. I just never liked it. And I think this show just relies too much on that. I didn't like that at all. Anyway, so last story here. Elizabeth Olsen reacts to theory about her sister's marriage, Kate and Ashley. Yes, in case you did not know, Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Scarlet Witch in the MCU, is the younger sister of the Olsen twins. I only found out about that 2 years ago. I was like, what? Yeah, sorry, but that was kind of loud. I apologize. All right. There is no shortage of WandaVision theories, as the first Marvel Disney Plus series is going up to release its first episode next Friday. And the marketing for the series has been cryptic, to say the least. Elizabeth Olsen will be reprising her role as Wanda Maximoff in that, in what is going to be a thrill ride structure like iconic sitcoms, of course. Olsen's family has ties of their own to such shows, with her sisters, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, having played Michelle Tanner on Full House. Olsen went on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Monday night, where the late night host posed a theory which would call for an appearance by her sisters. What about this one? Wanda bears a striking resemblance to these actors who played a role of Michelle Tanner on the sitcom from the 90s called Full House. Kimmel suggested that Olsen suggest to Olsen which would mean Uncle Joey is about to join the MCU. First of all, this is me talking, not this article. First of all, it's not Uncle Joey. It's Uncle Jesse. Joey Gladstone was a friend of the Tanners and Jesse. Jesse is the brother to Danny's dead wife. Can you tell I watch the show? I even watch this spinoff series on Netflix. But anyways, back to this article here. Olsen was being coy in all of her responses as the strict Marvel rules call for limiting any details of upcoming titles from being shared, but she did have a good laugh at this theory. That would be incredible, she said. It is very meta, the whole thing. Not a confirmation, but not a denial. Maybe the Olsen family has a little reunion on the set of WandaVision. Not going to be on it, but could be funny. Super meta moment. The Olsen twins popping up was not Kimmel's only theory. There are two dots inside the rectangle on his tie, and then two dots on the outside. And I guess the idea is that your characters are trapped inside something and also on the outside, where you either can't get in or can't get out, Kimmel suggested. Olsen admits this could be true, but she would not know. The thing is, Elizabeth noted, all of these Easter eggs, even if they were real, they would go way above my head, so I have no idea. You can watch the full Kimmel interview on YouTube. There's a link. Oh, that's cool. All right, folks, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the 206 Geek, and I think next week I'm going to go back to using my studio mic. I just wanted to use this new microphone that I got, lapel mic, and I'm gonna probably use these for when I do live streams, and those are going to be on Fridays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. If you go to stream.206geek.com, you can go to where I do my live streams. If you set up an account and subscribe to that channel, that'd be great. And I have episodes scheduled to happen this Friday and the next 3 weeks after. So every Friday for the next 4 weeks, at 7 p.m. Pacific time. This week I wanted to talk about The Mandalorian and Letterkenny, as I just finished watching both of those most recent seasons of those shows. So if you want to join in on the conversation and you like those shows, go over to stream.206geek.com and you can actually join in the conversation and be on the podcast. If you want, you can also just join in the chat room. So that will be when this podcast is released. That stream will happen today at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So go to stream.206geek.com and come join the conversation. And if nobody shows up, I'm still going to talk about these things. And then the audio from that stream will go on to the podcast that I've set up for those streams. All those recordings will go to that podcast. If you go onto your favorite podcasting app and search for The 206 Geek, there should be one that pops up and it says The 206 Geek Live, and then in brackets it'll say recorded, and that's where the live streams, the live stream recordings will go to that feed. You can also find those on Podchaser. If you just do a search for The 206 Geek on Podchaser, it will come up there as well. So, podchaser.com/206geeklive, I think, is the URL for that one. Anyways, thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.